we use the Cuban Missile Crisis as an inflection point, and yet the number of U.S. nuclear weapons did not peak until several years later. On the point of domestic drivers is a really important point. And, you know, in the United States, perhaps we're lucky because there's a lot of information about our weapons acquisition process. And, you know, in part, once these programs get started, and ballistic missile defense is a perfect example of that, it's very hard to turn them off because there are politically vested interests. And that won't change as administrations change. It's embedded in the Congress and in political districts. So I think we need to take that quite seriously. My response, however, is that's why we need to focus on institutional arrangements and arms control, because it makes it that much harder for, and I know this recent U.S. administration may be an exception, but typically it makes it harder for a country to walk away from an internationally, you know, legally binding agreement. And actually, there are, you know, in nuclear testing, it's a very good example that just the norm of not testing, North Korea notwithstanding, has also grown over time, helped in part by the considerable verification arrangements that have kind of percolated up through the CTBTO. One final point on the education and the role of civil society. I heard an even worse statistic that recently that was revealed at a Bulletin of Atomic Scientists meeting, that something like 97% of this next generation thinks a nuclear incident will happen, that it's inevitable in the next few years. And they are very, they're not complacent, but they see nothing that they can do about that. And so the good news about social media and everything else is that there are many more platforms to spread information, but it needs to be carefully calibrated so that it inspires rather than depresses folks into action. I saw a few more hands. We have time for a couple more questions. So one in the back.